Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Second hour, Robbie and Rex Road. 102.5, 106 for the game, sponsored by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We're broadcasting from the Bisbee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Paul Kaharski in for Robbie this week, and I'd like to invite you. And Paul, I know you're looking for a way to go see this fellow alum of your high school. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight for Vanderbilt women's basketball as the Commodores take on Mississippi State at Memorial Gym with an 8 p.m. tip-off. Pre-game show 7:45, Vanderbilt women's basketball presented by Athletes Unlimited Pro Basketball. Coming to Nashville's Municipal Auditorium now through March 2nd. Go to auprobasketball.com for more details and to purchase tickets. And by the way, we're going to give away tickets to that next hour. But Michaela Blake's, you got to go.
She's ridiculously good. And yep. She went to Rutgers Prep in Somerset, New Jersey, as did I.
Supplanting you as the greatest Rutgers Prep athlete of all time. It was a great run for you.
It was a great run.
It was a great run. Michaela Blake supplants you. No, she's
I am ridiculously in the Rutgers Prep Hall of Fame.
That is a beautiful thing. That is a beautiful. I need the bust. I need to see the bust.
It's a medal.
Oh, really? We don't have the feathered hair bust? That's too bad. Yeah, Michaela Blake's is absolutely must-see, and I believe is someone who, before she's done in college, I think she's going to be a National Player of the Year candidate. I think she's that good. So check that out. We are going to get into John Robinson. I do want to make sure to let the people have some say here. So on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, got a texter who says, Paul and Rex Road, a.k.a. grumpy old men who do not understand hockey. That was a great game last night, and I expect more the next week. Unlike the All-Star game, these guys play hard. Let me, quick aside, who mentioned the All-Star game? No one's mentioned the All-Star game. And continues, fantastic play on both sides. Stick to football and, Joe, basketball, and leave hockey to those who actually understand the sport. I love that one. Yes, yes, yes. Can't, because you have a problem with something, you must not understand it. Hockey people do this a lot. I mean, I've spent my whole life. Soccer people do this a lot. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of sports where even, like, honestly, like, college basketball fans get very kind of, like, insular and, like, you know, you don't really get
that. Well, the fewer people that are into it, the more clubby it becomes.
Yes. So this whole, you know, you don't understand. I mean.
Like the 14,000 people who are Preds fans in this town.
I lived and died with every Detroit Red Wings shift for many, many years in Michigan. So, you know, you can take that stick and shove it. But – look, I mean, is it really the worst? It became the worst because I wanted to argue with Keezer. But it does bother me, you know, relative to the Olympics. I've been texting with Vingan, and he said, hey, the games are like last night, I'm all for it. I mean, look, the rosters are cool. I think we'll have good games. These guys are into it. So that's fine, but I'm with you. I think it is strange in the middle of the season, and it really is strange given all the rhetoric of Olympic arguments past. Here's one for you, PK, which is interesting. Scotty says, please tell PK that Jeffrey keeps talking about leadership because he's struggling with it. He's young. He has a lot of growing ahead of him. Leadership doesn't just happen. It's lived. I will say to Scotty, somewhat in support, I mean, you're not necessarily wrong, but I do think it is important to him. Now, will he ever figure out how to be effective at it? You know, I don't know.
He's in his sixth year.
Uh-huh, sure.
He's young. I mean, how long do you give guy credit for being young? He's in his sixth year.
Okay,
he got
so
a second contract.
How old is he?
I don't care how old he is. If you're in your sixth year, you've been anointed the leader. Mm-hmm. You take it on yourself to be a leader.
But that's been
The league, sixth-year guys lead. Around the league, I hate to tell it to you, second-year guys lead, big-time guys.
Some do. Yeah,
he's not a big-time guy in terms of leadership. He can't stop talking about it. It would be one thing if he said, you know, I'm still trying to figure out this leadership thing, which is kind of what he's trying to say. Mm-hmm. But if you question him about leadership, what he does is get incredibly defensive about it. And what he does is he leads well when they're winning, and when they're losing, he doesn't. He gets defensive. He's not a good leader. And what he needs to do is step back And what the organization needs to do is put somebody on defense who's a better leader than Jeff, an unquestioned leader, and tell Jeff to stand back to the defensive line room. He's part of the problem. He's not part of the answer.
Okay.
I still would argue he is young. No, he is young.
Dude, he's one of the oldest guys on the team.
That's the NFL. I mean,
right, that's
okay.
The NFL. So okay. If you're one of the oldest guys on the team, you don't get to say, I'm young.
Yeah.
Still figuring it out. You got to figure it out.
It wasn't him saying it. It was this texter saying it. But I tend to agree that as a human being, you can get better. You can get better in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s.
But okay. It's time already.
Okay. Calm down. Yes, Brent says, yes, I know they're going to the Olympics. Yes, I know they're going to the Olympics next time. But again, this was an absolute. Like, I can go find some David Poile quotes from back then when it was like, well, you know, you guys don't understand how these commodities that these guys are, blah blah blah, whatever. I mean, it's I'm with you guys all. Good games, good rosters. It'll be fun. I think it's weird, and they never ever should have not been in the Olympics. John Robinson, is this serious? Is this going to happen? Is this a real thing? No?
I don't think so. I mean, the interviews for the Jets job, why was everybody not all hot about that? Like, it's on the verge of getting the Jets job. We didn't hear that. Tony Boselli's a smart guy.
Well, here's the difference. The Jets job, you know, he interviewed in that time period where, like, the Jets were interviewing people that they could talk to at the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is now.
Well, the Jaguars are on a completely ridiculous timetable.
Yeah.
I mean, they hired their Boselli 10 days ago or whatever.
So I have to look at this like it could happen.
Well, anybody they interview could happen. They interviewed Terrence Gray
from Buffalo.
Well, you just
poo-pooed it. No poo-poo it. I think this could be real. And
I mean, for us to turn him into the front runner here is kind of.
Okay, who are the other?
I don't know. Terrence Gray is one.
There's a kid that interviewed for it who looks like he's 12.
From where?
I don't know who that is. I'll find it, but. It was Kevin Clark, you know, posted this, and because he was like, people stop, you know, like, stop bothering me about this, cause, you know, it kind of looks like him. And I'm like, there's no way that guy could possibly be a GM in the NFL.
Trey Brown from Cincinnati Bengals, Los Angeles Rams Director of Scouting Strategy James Gladstone, San Francisco 49ers Director of Scouting and Football Operations Josh Williams, Bills Director of Player Personnel Terrence Gray.
So it's more the traditional type of candidates.
James Gladstone looks like Kevin Clark.
Yeah, James. Yeah, look at that, James Gladstone. James Gladstone. You're telling me that guy's older than 15? That's insane.
Young is in.
Yeah. Well, and most of these candidates are more of
they all look young.
The traditional on the rise successful organizations. Obviously, John Robinson is. I guess, you know, the retread. Okay, Beth, who's taking a break from ripping you here.
Hi, Beth.
Which is nice. She says, John Robinson volunteers at House on the Hill in West Nashville, and the last two times there, he has worn a Jacksonville hat, FYI.
He consulted a little bit.
Interesting,
for them
Beth.
In some way, shape, or form.
Look at Beth breaking news on the text line.
Look, I like John Robinson personally. And his early work for the Titans was very good. But, you know, then I go open the resume file. And, you know, he had some incredible work and did some incredible things early. And I would expect that he's learned a lot from the mistakes that he's made. But you look, and I mean, his last 3 years were horrible. And before that, he drafted Corey Davis fifth overall. He drafted Rashad Evans in the first round. That's 17 and 18. His 19 draft was
phenomenal,
spectacular. Simmons, Brown, Davis, Hooker, Long. A tremendous draft. But you get to 2020, 2021, and 2022, and it's just a wasteland. And this then makes Corey Davis, Evans, Wilson, Farley and Burks. Those are five of his first round picks. Who had the best career there? I mean,
Davis.
Yeah. And he did, you know, very little. Who's the second best out of that group? Rashawn Evans, Wilson, Farley, Burks. That's horrific.
Yeah, I mean, it's Rashawn Evans.
And he was horrific. I mean, he had no instinctive play to him whatsoever. He's a goal line linebacker.
Good goal line linebacker. I didn't realize that this was going to turn into you ripping every bad move John Robinson made.
I'm just saying, I don't know how you talk yourself through this in an interview.
Yeah, well, it's he did a lot of good things, and then he did a lot of bad things. And in the end, he did have a good record. Right? He did turn around a moribund franchise. What happened? That's the question to me if I'm interviewing him. So what happened? And you and I have had the argument, like COVID, fine, you can, whatever. They didn't handle it well. That doesn't mean you're doomed to not handle things well after it, and they didn't. So why? That's my question. And we come back. I have a question, though, a more pressing question for Titans fans on this topic. Robbie and Rex are 1025, 1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Like I said, we're going to be giving away those tickets. And also, I'd like to let you know about Nashville's best deal this week. 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. 312 Pizza Company serves the best pizza in town, as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get half off a $30 gift card to a 312 Pizza Company while supplies last. So, okay, you are telling me that Stilley said Amy Adams Strong, worst move she ever made was firing John Robinson. I've heard him say many times, worst move was firing John Robinson in season. That's an important distinction. No?
That is an important distinction. That's not what I heard him say yesterday. And also, he came up with all kind of theories, you know, the downing, drinking, you know.
Still? Or,
well, yeah, I mean.
He's still talking about the plane from Green Bay.
He was touching on that stuff yesterday. I had a brief listen. I have to admit.
Hate listen to every word.
Well, no, it was a short car ride. But I mean, I get the feeling he's a big proponent of John Robinson because Floyd was a big proponent of John Robinson, and he can't venture off of what Floyd liked.
Well, I think John Robinson, in final analysis, was a good GM here. Yeah. He was a great GM for a while, and then he had a terrible run at the end.
I don't know how you just dismiss the terrible run at the end.
I'm not dismissing it.
This team is where it is right now because of what John Robinson did.
Yeah, I'm not dismissing it. Again, I'm just taking the entirety of his tenure. So, I mean, it of course counts in it. And yes, you can say, yeah, did his mistakes, is that largely why they're here now? A lot of it? Yeah, you can't say that's why. They've also not done things to fix
the offensive line problem is John Robinson's fault.
Well, but they still haven't, and maybe they have done some things. Again, like we talked about yesterday, Latham, Skoronski. I mean, they certainly better outcomes right now than the three.
But they're chasing the hole that was created by Isaiah Wilson, Dylan Raidens, and Nicholas Petit-Frere.
Yeah,
which is monstrous draft capital.
Well, and we said, talked about the A.J. Brown trade, still the worst thing he did. So, yeah, I understand how bad it was at the end. I'm just saying, like, there is the beginning.
Yeah,
there
the
is,
beginning was there good, and they got an AFC championship game and the one seed.
So, you know, it's nuanced, Paul. It's complicated.
It is nuanced, but if you're putting all of that on the scale, I think that, and I loved John.
You think bad GM?
I think on the scale, the results. Yeah, okay. The bad outweighs the good, unfortunately. Three terrible drafts sinks a franchise.
All right, so here's the – and that's a good debate. That could spin off into a debate. But I want to ask this of Titans fans. I want to play out the fantasy that John Robinson explains himself and what all went on late in his Titans tenure and sufficiently impresses Jags ownership and gets that job. I mean, I'm so here for it. Like, I'm smiling just thinking about it. And we already know, of course, Mike Vrabel's with the Patriots. So, Titans fan, worst pain for you, John Robinson and the Jaguars. We could say winning it all, or we could just say, you know, being consistently good and better than the Titans, or Vrabes and the Pats winning, you know, winning it all, being consistently good, being better, winning. Which one of them succeeding at a high level in either of those spots would hurt you, bother you more? I'm fascinated by that question.
Oh, I think the answer's got to be Robinson. I mean, Robinson left under way worse circumstances. I agree. Robinson, by the way, should not have been fired in season. And I think at the time, I thought he should have gotten a year more to try to dig out. I'm against early firings. I'm on the record with both of those things.
It was a worthwhile conversation at the end of the season. It was going to come up.
Yeah.
Fair to talk about.
One more year, I would have gone. But I think if John Robinson resurfaces now and has success in Jacksonville, first off, it's in your division.
Yep. So it's more directly costly to you.
Secondly, his successor was a failure, who lasted only 2 years.
Unless you consider Brinker a successor, yes.
Yeah, and then to watch him recover from this when GMs who end badly like he did, and most people who get fired end badly, but GMs don't get a chance to recover. And so if you get him in the division and recovering from his ending and getting a second job, which GMs don't do, I mean, that's a dagger. And there wasn't massive complaints about John Robinson getting fired. There were massive complaints about Mike Vrabel getting fired, that the community was split on that. Some people wanted him fired. Some people didn't. So Vrabel going to New England and having success, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. I think he will. But that's not going to be some kind of big surprise. And you're not going to see him twice a year. You're going to see him occasionally. I think Robinson would hurt way worse.
Hurt way worse, yeah. That makes sense. Even the surprise element of him getting the job, like you said, the more direct, and it's just surprising to, I mean, frankly, it's surprising to have success like that with the Jags with anyone, right? I mean,
right. Yeah, that's another thing. Historically bad franchise.
Yeah, that all of a sudden becomes consistently better than you. Alex from Montreal says, just the name J-Rob makes me want to puke my breakfast. Wow. John from Asheville agrees with you. Rob's in the Jags, so they're in the division. They're good. Presumably they've beaten us once or twice a year. Bradford says, which is more likely to happen? Well, certainly. I mean, Vrabel has the job, and I think Vrabel will have at least reasonable success. So I don't know. I don't know how serious John Robinson's candidacy is, but I will say that just him being in there now interviewing for it gives me a thought. You said there was – I know he's consulted with some teams, and you believe he consulted with them?
I mean, he's been on the field with them a couple times, so, like at training camp.
So, there's some boots on the ground,
but
actual
I think that
personal
might have been,
experience with him.
I think he might have been there as a guest of Balky, you know, or somebody that's no longer a part of it. I don't know that it reached to Khan levels.
Yeah. Well, you would, but if he helped in some way, or if he was impressive in some way, maybe that's how he got this interview. So maybe that gives him a leg up. Look, I'd love to see it. I don't, for one thing, because I think it's weird that in this league, coaches can be retreads and just constantly recycled, but GMs almost never are, you know? And personally, I've thought John Robinson was a stand-up guy.
Oh, and, a tremendous stand-up guy. And it really emphasized just how good of a stand-up guy he was when the guy after him wasn't a stand-up guy at all.
Philip says, you're against early firings, but you were all for Carthon getting fired after Robinson demolished.
I was not all
after
for
Robinson
Carthon.
Demolished the roster?
I was not all for Rand Carthon being fired. You remember me sitting here saying I didn't think anybody should have been fired. I thought they should have stuck it out and given it all one more year, despite the fact that I didn't think Rand Carthon was very good.
I mean, it's just, Phillip's just bringing stuff up.
Well, Phillip's remembering things incorrectly.
And Jonathan is bringing up, he says, Paul's jealousy of Jared knows no bounds.
I don't know how I'm jealous of Jared and that I think he's wrong that John Robinson was a good general manager. Right.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know that I necessarily agree that the final analysis – I mean, isn't the final analysis like just like coaches, like just what your win-loss record is?
Dude, first off,
what is his
first
win-loss
off, record? We agree that he shouldn't have been fired in season.
Yes,
right?
Of
so
course.
He gets fired in season. That takes 7 losses off of his record, right? So we're giving him a bonus of 7 losses that aren't on his record.
Give him those losses.
All right.
What's his record?
So his record, I don't know. His record is pretty good. But his record also includes 3 draft classes of crap that have affected the franchise since he's left. So I don't think you can judge him just on his win-loss record.
Well, okay.
That's an interesting question. I feel like coaches and GMs should be judged by how much do they win, how much do they lose.
Well, the GMs, when he's got control over the personnel and he leaves you with Isaiah Wilson, who's not even on the roster when he leaves,
but
Caleb Farley,
doesn't every GM
and Treylon
Burks. Doesn't every GM leave a bad situation because that's why they get fired, right? I mean, typically. Isn't that generally what you expect?
Yeah, but there's an echo that he left. I, and I'm not looking at every GM situation. I'm looking at his GM situation. Mm-hmm. I feel like you're really letting him off the hook for the damage he did to the roster. He got Mike Vrabel, the best coach in team history, fired because he left him a roster that he couldn't win with.
Vrabel has no accountability in this?
Yeah, of course he has accountability in it. He
so
didn't
now
develop
so now
people
you're sucking
enough.
Up to Vrabel. My God. Okay, we'll continue this when we come back. Ryan Miller, XO 1025, 1063, The Game. You know what? I'm going to give away tickets now because we got Charles Robinson coming up top of the hour. Nick, are you ready? Are you ready, Nick? All right, let's go caller four today. This is the Athletes Unlimited. Family four-pack of tickets to the Athletes Unlimited. Professional basketball games at the Nashville Municipal Auditorium on Saturday, February 15th. Tip-off 5 p.m. See star players including Alicia Clark, Sydney Colson, Lexi Brown, Jordan Horston, Isabel Harrison, and more. Caller four. Jordan Horston, a great player at Tennessee.
I know. Yeah. I'm just making sure you get the name right.
Yeah, well, it's written Hurston, and I heard Stilley say Hurston, and I'm like, no, it's Jordan Horston. She was a great player with the Lady Vols. Okay, so you are screaming at me about John Robinson was a bad GM.
I'm not screaming at you.
A little bit.
We're discussing.
You're getting a little.
I think you're letting him off the hook in a big way.
You're getting a little bit excited there. Lenny says, if A.J. Brown had not been traded, Robinson Vrabel will still be here, and so would Derrick Henry. You buy that?
I don't know, but things would have been a lot better.
Jack says, letting Conklin leave was the most underrated blunder by J-Rob. We talked about this yesterday.
That's
defensible. You know, and obviously, it led to the huge mistakes. So I get looking back on it. But also I get not – I mean, first of all, they did make an offer to Conklin, my understanding. It was not – enough. He got more from the Browns, but they did not just say walk.
They
made an offer to him.
It's hard to pay Lawan and Conklin. You have to replace him better. The problem isn't letting him go. The problem is the massive failure in judging talent to replace him.
Right. So someone's saying like maybe John Robinson can get the I saw this on X and get the Jacksonville job and then trade Brian Thomas for Treylon Burks. What do you think?
He does like Burks.
Make things all better. Make things all better here in Nashville.
Get off to a rousing
trade Brian
start
Thomas
down there.
Jr. here.
Here's one thing as we just talked about off air about John Robinson. I think it's been a mistake, and I know he can only say so much while he's still being paid by Amy Adams Strunk. I think this is the last year of that if he doesn't get a job. But he's never talked to anybody, you know? And I think you've got to refresh your reputation somewhat by just kind of – even Vrabel did this. Like,
yeah, Zach Rosenblatt.
Vrabel got a reputation a little bit out there that he was difficult to work with.
Where did that come from?
So he let a guy follow him around a little bit and had a story out there that where he clearly expressed how that in his eyes was not true. And so I think Robinson's made a huge mistake, and all this time he's not been working, and not getting one story out there kind of saying, here's why things went south, and here's what I'm doing now to improve my game and why I'm going to be such a better GM the second time around.
Yeah. Well, you and I
both have tried.
Have tried to get him, after he was fired, for sure. Tried to get him to, sit down. Anything you want to do, anything you want to talk about, et cetera, et cetera. And I get it to an extent, which is basically like, well, there are NDAs that happen in these situations, and a lot of money being paid to him over the years by Amy Adams Strong after she fired him.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful.
But you could navigate
that. I think you can navigate that.
You can navigate that in a way where you put out a lot of information that's not what's on your playlist or what books are you reading.
There you go. Caleb says, there's no excuses for J-Rob. Too many horrible decisions. People think because the Titans went 9-7 a couple times, J-Rob's some genius. when in reality he took over a playoff team, got a good coach, and after making all-time bad draft choices and signings that fell apart. I think that's
Well, they did go 12-4.
It's a little bit down on him and what he did. His first offseason was fantastic. I mean, his first offseason was not just the draft. I mean, he drafted some of the best Titans of all time in one draft. He also got fixed a terrible offensive line in one offseason.
Got DeMarco Murray.
Got DeMarco Murray for nothing.
Got something for Doriel Green Beckham and Dennis Kelly.
Got offensive line depth for a complete zero receiver.
Very good early. I'm not dismissing the very good early.
Yeah.
But his first round picks were, outside of Jeffrey Simmons, not good players.
No. I mean, so that's an interesting, I guess I'm still sticking with, the easiest or the clearest way to judge a GM or a coach in the NFL is the totality of the wins. Okay, give John Robinson the seven losses. What's his record with the Titans? So it's basically the Titans record between 2016 and 2022.
Yeah.
You know, it's you give him those seven losses, and it's certainly still a winning record. I mean, there's no doubt. Now I don't know if it's a 60% winning, which I think it was if you don't. Do that. I mean, I hear what you're saying about leaving them. He did. He left them in a hole, and it was bad late with the early round choices especially. But how many GMs who get fired leave teams in a good situation? You know, I have to think very few. Like, if you get fired as a GM, and GMs, though,
66-55 if you give them those seven.
Okay.
3-4
66-55. I guess I would say pretty good. Great, then terrible, and then final analysis, pretty good. But you say bad.
Bad
GM. He will be remembered as is he not the second best GM in Titans history? I know that probably is a depressing reality for the franchise.
It's a terrible list. Look, I like the guy a lot, and he did some very good things early. But you can't be judged as a good GM if your list of first round picks is Jeffrey Simmons and then Evans and Davis and Isaiah Wilson, Caleb Farley, and Treylon Burks. You can't call that a good GM. Good GMs have to hit on first round draft picks.
Again,
that's the foundation of your team.
Yeah, but he did hit on Jeffrey Simmons.
Well, that's one. You're satisfied with one
he hit on Jack Conklin. Conklin's a hit. An all
and
pro.
Jack Conklin. So two. That's two for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Two out of seven first-round picks is satisfactory to you?
No, it's not good enough. But he obviously compensated in other ways, right? I mean, it's like you're right, Corey Davis
compensated with his second round pick.
Yeah, like Corey Davis. Corey Davis not a good enough first
Christian
round pick.
Christian Fulton and Dylan Raidens.
Well, but he also got AJ Brown second round. That replaces,
who he gave up on after 3 years,
and who he later traded. Yes, that is right. I mean, it's again, no one's saying it was amazing. someone says 100 attaboys can be wiped away by one. Oh crap! Yeah, I mean, I get it. He set the team back. I do think also as we move forward, you're right, they have the holes and everything, but like, can we stop blaming him for stuff? Can we next year, like, look at the Titans and say, you know, figure it out. Like, they need to figure it out this offseason. Hey. They've had two off seasons without him here.
I agree.
Can we move on from that?
His successor didn't do enough to help them move on from that. I agree. They should be beyond it, but they haven't done well enough to patch the holes.
I think that's what we should. I think it's pretty clear, first of all, that it would hurt Titans fans more if Vrabel were to win, to get that job and to win. And also,
you think it would hurt them more for Vrabel to win?
I apologize. For Robinson. Yes. For Robinson. And also, I think most people agree with you. But next year, whatever it is, whatever it looks like, we got to stop invoking John Robinson's name as the culprit. Like, it's enough. Right? I mean, how many years after a guy leaves can he still be to blame?
Well,
you can do a lot of things in every NFL offseason.
I agree with you to an extent, but 2022 should be a 5-year contract for your first round pick. 2022, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26. Treylon Burks should have been a factor on this team through 2026. McCreary, NPF, Willis, all should have been factors on this team through at least 2025. So, yeah, after this year, outside of receiver, his fingerprints should be gone.
I mean, I'm going right
but
now.
But you're still chasing holes on the roster.
Sure. But I'm going right now because I mentioned this the other day, and, of course, now my computer is crawling, to the Eagles draft history. The best roster in the NFL, the best, the Super Bowl champion.
Look at their 2022
draft. Holy
draft.
Crap, this freaking computer.
Unbelievable.
My God.
I mean, you have a brand new computer
Andre
sitting
Dillard,
at home.
Yes, but Andre Dillard, right? So the point being, you can make those mistakes and you can make up for them. You know, obviously, look, Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, Quinyon Mitchell, they've done really well. But, yes, how about Andre Dillard? How about Jalen Reagor in 2020? Okay, so that's
– And they went and fixed it by fleecing the Titans with the trade.
Exactly. That's my point. You can make these mistakes, and you can do things to fix them. So now it's on these guys to do things to fix them.
Okay, but here's their 2022 draft. Jordan Davis, Cam Jurgens,
yes,
Nakobe Dean.
Right, you
top
can,
three.
You can draft well too.
Right.
You can. What I'm saying is, you can have these horrific mistakes and be okay because you do other good things. The Titans are not doing anything to fix things. No,
I understand what you're saying, but they have spotty horrific mistakes. I somehow you're not getting the monumental failures of these three drafts.
Sure, I am.
From 2022,
I've talked about it and
Christian Fulton is the only guy in the league.
Yeah.
Their number one pick played four snaps.
I understand this.
Okay.
I totally understand how bad these things were.
All right. Well, you're comparing the Eagles who made like one mistake with Andre Dillard.
No, I just gave you two first round picks that were horrific. Back to back.
Two.
Dillard and Reagor, okay?
All right. I mean, well, I'm giving you four. That's double.
I understand, Paul. But the point is they did that, and they have the best team in the NFL. They have the best roster because they drafted well, because they made good trade. They fleeced the team. You can fix it. That's all I'm saying. You can fix it.
You can
and we're going to still talk about John Robinson here? No, that's enough. All right, when we come back, it's time for the Rex Rant. We're going to talk about the Nashville Predators. 102.5, 106.3 the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Yes, they've given Saros the extension, and it would look bad to trade Saros now. But I think they need to get rid of him. I think they need to move on. I think they need to recognize what reality is. My problem is, I think everybody over at Bridgestone Arena, who works for the Predators, they overvalue what UC Saros is. And they can't see it any other way.
Little Stilly clip coming into the Rex Rant. I'm actually not ranting about Stilly, but we have a lot to get to here, okay? So I'm trying to think, which do we go football first, hockey second, or hockey first, football second? Or, you know what I'm saying? What do we start? Football or hockey?
You're ranting, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's very simple. It's absolutely – it's just absolutely – we've said it, but I just want to – and listen to Stilly there. And I don't agree with him. I don't think – you know, they're not trading Saros here at the front end of his contract. They've made their choice. And they may well – they may well have made that bed, and it may be a real uncomfortable. But, I mean, it's just not – that's not living in reality. I know that's shocking for Stilly. It's just absolutely insane to me and so unfair that the Nashville Predators have had this season on top of what's going on with the Titans. If you are a Nashville sports fan, and I know a lot of people listening to this show are fans of both teams, some are, you know, fans of one or the other, good for you if you're not fans of both. For a Titans fan to come off this crap and what they've been, as we've been talking about more today, all that's led to it, and then to have what I would argue is right up there among the most anticipated seasons in Preds history, I think certainly the 17-18 season would be, you know, right? And you know, early they had some great teams as well, 06-07. But the 17-18 season, coming off the Cup Final, the team that won the President's Trophy, there was a lot of anticipation, a lot of excitement. And that was actually, you know, that was validated. For the Preds to come out and have the worst season, this is the most disappointing, the worst season in franchise history, is such a bleep sandwich for the sports fans of this city, and it really pisses me off. I don't know that we've been angry enough about it. So there's that.
Yeah, get more angry.
There's also, since we're on hockey, I do want to revisit the really quickly the Four Nations thing with a couple texts that I didn't get to earlier. Ricky says, there's no one in the world who loves hockey more than me. I watch 68 games a night. I have my own podcast. I consider myself an A-plus fan. I have zero interest in this tournament other than I'm waiting for a major starter to get hurt. Fans will go crazy. Fan base will be upset. The outcome of the Stanley Cup is affected. Tournaments like this do not belong in the middle of the season. And also tell Paul to have another donut. That's Ricky. Joy from Belleville
says, is that a Koharski joke? Have another donut, you fat pig. Don Koharski. You don't remember this?
No, what's that from?
I thought you were a hockey guy.
Oh, is that from?
Is it Jim Schoenfeld, the coach? Screamed at Don Koharski, have another donut, you fat pig.
Okay. Wow. Maybe.
I mean, you're the hockey guy.
But yeah, maybe. Joy from Belleville says, I think the Four Nations tournament's a slap in the face of the other nations. Isn't Draisaitl from Edmonton one of the best players? Or Ovechkin, who will break Gretzky's goal record? I said that earlier, too. When you take a break, international break in soccer, all the leagues in Europe stop playing, so all the best players are nations eligible to play their national league. I agree with that, too.
Russia's a little bit of an exception right now, and understandably so.
Yeah,
you're not inviting them.
Well, they have some of the best players in your league.
That's fine. But you're not inviting them.
Okay, well, they play in the league. They're here playing in the NHL.
Yeah, but you don't invite that flag to your tournament.
By the way, and I want to thank you for bringing politics in this show. There's people on Twitter like, look at Elon, man. So I got to mute all these people today. So I appreciate
that. All I said was, can I unfollow him or block him?
Yes, it's fine. I think you can. Give it a shot.
That's not political. That's a question about my Twitter account.
Yeah.
It's political to you is a you problem.
Oh, no. It's
not you, the people.
Yeah. These people are little lies. All right, so on my personal text line, I have Stilly. Now, Stilly yelling at you. He says, I think it's kind of BS for Paul to blame Robinson for those 7 losses. They win at Jacksonville if he isn't fired during the week. It's like saying, well, the QB didn't
get hurt. That's ridiculous to forecast a win or a loss.
I agree with the Jacksonville game. I think the Jacksonville game is a win. But
Guess what? They lost it. So the fact of the matter is, it's in the standings as a law.
That is true. He also says, how come Washington busting all those first-rounders is good now? Chase Young, Davis, Dotson, Forbes, all bust, and then the NFC Championship.
Look, I'm not saying the Titans did a good job replacing John Robinson, made good moves after that.
Right.
That's part of the failure of the franchise.
Yeah, and that is all
Still,
I'm saying.
Text me. Don't text him about me. Text me about me.
That's what he does, though. Like, when he complains about
He fears.
Well, no, he complains about me. He'll text Robbie sometimes. Yeah. And it's like,
face up to the people you complain about. This is just like you never going to the locker room and facing guys you say suck.
Woo! Well, we'll have Stilly on tomorrow at 7 a.m. so you guys can talk about it. And I got one of the biggest hockey fans I know, Vinny from Nolensville.
Vinny!
Giant Rangers fan, lifelong, says, he totally agrees with Ricky. I hate these in-season tournaments. I went to bed at the first period last night, even though I know it was a close game. You know, Vingan likes it, and he said like, it'd be interesting to see if, like, ratings are good. You know, it's a time of the year when there's opportunity. But, yeah, I don't think that there's some – obviously, there's not some majority love for this tournament, and I get it, you know. So,
and I know
for those of
different.
You who do love it, don't try to tell people they don't know anything about hockey.
Hockey's different; it could be part of its charm, but no other league is pausing its season to have a tournament outside of the Olympics.
The NBA does the in season thing, which I think is stupid.
But it's its own league.
But it's still its own league, and it's there, and they still count those games count and all that stuff. So, So. I don't know. That was a rant about the Preds sucking. Not cool. I'm not saying we've been easy on them, but
you just shoved them in the back.
It's so stunning, you know, that it's like, and it's just so, it's again, coming on the heels of the Titans again. You know, you're talking about these two teams might have the number one pick, which you talk about a rarity.
Glenno did a piece on that. How many times in the last 50 years the same city's had two first round
Do you
picks.
Remember the conclusion? There was probably like three or four, right?
I saw a headline. I didn't say I read it.
Good job, Johnny Boyle. Well, I'm going to find that. I'm going to find that piece before the show ends. But when we're coming up next, we're going to get back into the NFL at large with our weekly guest, Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.